Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to The Sunny Side of Sports. As we move into the second week of August, we've got a busy show for you. Samson Omale gets us caught up on the athletics championships in Nigeria and has the details of Saturday night's NBA Africa game, which our intrepid Sonny Young attended. We'll also have a chat with Sonny, who just returned to the U.S. on Monday morning. Then Mike Mbonye has reaction from the athletics championships, and my colleagues here in Washington, Gwen Uten and Prince Nesta, will have the scoop on news from both professional American football and professional soccer. First up, here's Samson Omale.
We begin with athletics, where Kenya proved her dominance in athletics on the continent once again as the East Africans edged out defending champion South Africa and host Nigeria to win the 21st edition of the African Senior Athletics Championship, which rounded up on Sunday night at the Stephen Keshi Stadium in Asaba. Kenya topped the medals table with 11 gold, 6 silver and 2 bronze medals, while defending champions South Africa secured 9 gold, 13 silver and 8 bronze medals. Host Nigeria came third with 9 gold, 5 silver and 5 bronze medals. More than 1,000 athletes from 52 countries participated in the 21st edition of the championships. The last edition was won by South Africa in 2016. Head of the global athletics body, the IAAF, Sebastian Coe, says Africa has the potential to host the World Athletics Championship in future.
One of the ambitions I set myself when I became president was that we are in a much better position within 10 years of delivering the World Senior Athletics Championships to Africa. Now that will be for my colleagues in Africa to decide the best venue, the best city, the best host country for that. That is a responsibility that should lie with the area association. But I'm very clear that our sport is global. It needs to be seen to be global. We need to put funding and resource behind those programs that allow us to genuinely say we are the most global sport, which I think we are. We're certainly the most accessible sport. And we are the sport that Africa is most successful at.
In basketball news, the third NBA Africa Basketball Without Borders game was played in South Africa this past weekend, which saw Team World record a hat-trick of wins as it beat Team Africa 96-92 at the Sun Arena in Pretoria. The home team trailed 54-47 at halftime but made a comeback only to miss the mark right at the end. It was a similar story last year, though this edition saw the players expend a bit more competitive energy than is customary for exhibition games. Some of the NBA stars like Danilo Gallinari and Joel Embiid were glad to be part of the exhibition game.
It was a great game, first of all. I thought it was a great show. Team Africa played very well. We played well, too. And they could have won. We could have won. It was a last possession thing, game. So, but I'm glad that at the end of the day, our goal is to give a show to the fans.
Man, I loved it. I mean, I want to come back. I mean, it was great doing Basketball Without Borders, doing the Habitat for Humanity, coming playing here. Just the passion, the fans. I loved it. So I look forward to coming back.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you for that comprehensive report, Samson. Next up, I spoke with Sonny this morning, fresh off his flight from Africa. Welcome back to the United States, Sonny.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be back. It was a quick trip, only 5 full days in Johannesburg, and basically almost 2 days, overlapping 2 days on each end of the trip. It was a build as a Basketball Without Borders Africa, NBA Africa 2018 game week. And basically they had activities leading up to the big NBA Africa game on Saturday, which was played in Pretoria. The venue's interesting, Dan. It was played at the Sun Arena in Pretoria. The arena is actually linked to a casino there in Pretoria. I would say it's not NBA size, Dan. I mean, like, for instance, the team we're familiar with in Washington, the Wizards, their arena seats approximately 20,000 fans. This arena in Pretoria has a seating capacity of about 8,500, less than half the size of a typical NBA arena. But on the positive side, it was full, and there was a great atmosphere at the game, Dan.
So, Sonny, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your impressions of the quality of play on the floor? I know that in past years the game has been more of an exhibition, but how would you characterize this year's game?
Well, I would say that the defense was probably not what you might see in an NBA playoff game. There were quite a few dunks and a few layups from maybe not the most excellent defense, but I would like to give a shout out for an Italian player, Danilo Gallinari. He was named the Manute Bowl MVP of the NBA Africa 2018 game, the MVP award named after the former tall, very tall player from South Sudan, Manute Bowl. This is a fun fact for our listeners, Dan. Gallinari's nickname is Gallo, which in Italian means rooster. And you might say the rooster crowed at the end. He made a couple big shots for Team World, and they ended up winning 96-92. Gallinari, MVP, and Joel Embiid played very well for Team Africa. He had 24 points. And some thought he should have been named the MVP after the game. But I would say this Team World, Dan, this was not like all-star caliber players that you'd see at the all-star game. I would say they were more like almost second-tier players.
I'm Dan Friedel here at Voice of America in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. We're speaking with the show's namesake, Sonny Young, who's just back from his week-long trip to South Africa, landing in the United States early Monday morning. Sonny, I know that some of the luminaries at the event included the all-time great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and one of Washington, D.C.'s most famous college players from his time at Georgetown, Dikembe Mutombo. What was it like being up close and personal with some of those legends of the game?
Well, this was the first time I've ever had a chance to speak with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Dan. I know you played that interview on Friday's show, but one thing that maybe our listeners might not be familiar with, Kareem, some describe him as the greatest basketball player of all time. Julius Irving, the great Dr. J, has said that Kareem is the greatest player. He's definitely right up there, but he's also a very literate, thoughtful former athlete. Some of our listeners might not be aware, Dan, Kareem has written more than a dozen books, not just on basketball, but on various subjects such as racism, jazz music, the Buffalo Soldiers during the Civil War. He's a very well-rounded man. And so I asked him if you heard the interview on Friday about Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King Jr. And that's one of my memories of Kareem during the 60s, is seeing some of those black and white photos of him with Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown next to Martin Luther King Jr. As part of that whole civil rights activism. Kareem has always had very much been outspoken on social causes and nothing but respect for that giant of a man. And I should point out, Dan, I know you had fun with trying to picture what it would be like to interview Kareem, and I must say, I've never held the microphone higher as when I was trying to interview Kareem. I did have to put that microphone up very high to get it to his chin. But switching over to Mutombo, I have had a chance to talk with Dikembe before, and I think one of the very nice moments for me took place before the NBA Africa game. A group of the players went out to one of the townships just on the outskirts of Johannesburg called Ennerdale. Very poor area. More than half the people in the area are unemployed. And I witnessed Dikembe, you know, his real giant humanitarian spirit. He helped, I won't say build a home, he helped lay some cement, and along with Joel Embiid, who did some painting. But it was a symbolic act of the NBA giving back. But what struck me was how Dikembe interacted with the female owner of this house. Her name was Grace, and very touching. You could tell that Mutombo is very sincere in the way he gives back. And, of course, I think he's going to be remembered most for that hospital he built in memory of his mother in his birthplace of Kinshasa, 300-bed hospital, which apparently is doing very well. They have state-of-the-art equipment now in some of the wards. And Mutombo has really done so much off the basketball court. And so, yeah, props to him, and also big props to Kareem.
I'm Dan Friedell in for Sonny Young here at Voice of America's studios in Washington. We're talking with Sonny, who just came back from his trip to South Africa. Sonny, I'll let you go with this final question. For somebody who covers African sports remotely most of the time here in Washington, what was it like for you to be on the ground and be interacting with the African people for a week?
I had a great time, Dan, especially with the players. You know, I talked about the sincerity of Mutombo, but I would say all the players that were there in either Pretoria or Johannesburg at that Basketball Without Borders Africa camp, they were there because they wanted to be there. And, you know, they would like to see basketball expand in Africa. I know soccer is by far the king of African sports, but I think there's room for growth for basketball in Africa also. I really enjoyed interacting with the players and the officials. And a quick shout-out for Masai Ujiri, the president of the Raptors. First time I've met him, Dan, and really impressed by him. He's from Nigeria, and he's done a great job with the Raptors, one of the top teams in the NBA. Enjoy talking with him. It was really nice. I mean, I'll say that it was nice to talk to these players and officials face to face on African soil.
I'm Dan Friedell in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Sonny, it was great to hear from you. We enjoyed getting your reports from South Africa. Now go get some rest and recover from your long trip.
Thanks, Dan, and you're doing a great job. They're behind the microphone on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Now with more from the athletics championships in Nigeria, we're joined by Mike Mbonye, who caught up with Kenyan journalist James Magai, who said he knew Kenya had a chance to take the championship all along.
Well, everybody don't really follow athletics, so they thought it was South Africa. But I knew that Kenya would top the standings the moment Athletics Kenya conducted the national trials in Nairobi last month. I looked at the caliber of athletes who turned up for the trials and the team that was selected, and I counted at least 11 gold medals for Team Kenya. And Kenya has got 11 gold medals, although the 4x400 meters men was a surprise. It was not in my tally. I had 800 meters because there is Emmanuel Korir in the 800 meters. He's the fastest man over the distance this year. And he has run the second fastest time after David Rudisha. So I had counted his gold medal in the 800 meters.
What was it like, Kenya topping South Africa in the championship?
Well, it is the fourth time Kenya is winning the Africa Senior Athletics Championships. But that is largely because most of the country's top athletes have been giving the championship a wide berth in preference to the Diamond League, to the World Challenges, and to other events. But It was expected. It was expected. The Kenyan trials, I looked at the number of Olympic gold medalists and world champions that were selected in the team, and I knew that Kenya would probably win the last, their fourth title in Africa. We are very happy as a country. I am very happy as a journalist because you always want to report good stories about your athletes, about your country. And what has happened today, six gold medals on the last day. It is a remarkable feat. You would agree with me.
Kenya winning the 4x400 meters men. Did it come to you as a surprise?
This is a surprise to me. After the Kenyan trials, I predicted that we would win 11 gold medals. 4x4 men was not one of them. 800 meters instead was one of them. It surprised me. Nigeria and South Africa made some serious mistakes with their baton handovers. And Kenyan team had very experienced runners. And the fastest 800 meters runner this year, Emmanuel Korir, who ran the last leg. And they totally destroyed it.
Is this your first time to Nigeria?
Yeah, this is my first time to Nigeria.
What's your impressions about the country, especially the city, Asaba, that hosted the championship?
Well, I had not heard about Asaba before the championships were shifted to Asaba. I had never heard of it. And I had a very bad perception about Nigeria from the stories and from the articles I've read elsewhere. I live a very happy man. I've met a lot of friends because I have met very hospitable people. I think I had a very bad perception about Nigeria because of what I have read about Nigeria from elsewhere, from far away, from miles away. But coming here, I have really met hospitable people, cordial people. I have met a lot of friends and I have made a lot of contact. And I live a very happy man. I just wish Nigeria could host more of these championships, more trade fairs, so that the visitors really get first-hand information of what it is like, so that the visitors don't rely on the rumors peddled around by other media. Because when I was coming here, somebody told me that I won't leave with my luggage, that I'm going to lose everything. But I'm happy because I'm intact, I've not lost anything, and I've only made friends. I've only made important contacts, and I'm happy I came. I would come back another day.
That's Mike Mbonya from the Athletics Championships in Nigeria, won by the Kenyan national team over the weekend. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny this week, and we're glad you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now my colleague Gwen Uten has this update on the goings-on at the inductions into the Pro Football Hall of Fame here in the U.S. over the weekend. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. The Football Hall of Fame class of 2018 gathered in the state of Ohio on Saturday to be officially enshrined in front of a record crowd of over 22,000 people. Among the inductees are Robert Brazil, who opened the ceremony. The former linebacker retired from the NFL in 1984 and was picked by the Hall of Fame Seniors Committee. Brazil said, "After all these years, I am home." Former Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Randy Moss stood on the stage and made a powerful statement by wearing a necktie that bore the names of black men who were slain by police. But in his speech, Moss focused his attention on the people of Minnesota.
I want to thank all the true Minnesota Viking fans for being able to stick through with me through thick and thin. Ups and downs, bumpy roads. This is for us. This is for us.
When former NFL safety Brian Dawkins accepted his award, he talked about his struggles with mental illness.
There's a purpose for my pain. As you've been listening all and you probably read all this week, I suffer from depression. I went through it mightily my rookie year. I suffered through suicidal thoughts. And I wasn't just suffering through suicidal thoughts. I was actually planning the way that I would kill myself so my wife would get the money.
And former linebacker Ray Lewis became the first person in Pro Football Hall of Fame history to use a wireless mic to address the crowd. No podium and no script. In his speech that lasted a full 33 minutes, Lewis thanked the great teammates he played with at the University of Miami before going pro.
When I got there, boy, Warren Sapp, Pat Riley, Roanne Marley, C.J. Richardson, Chad Wilson, Malcolm. Man, they changed my mentality. I was surrounded around so much greatness. Thank you to the University of Miami.
Former wide receiver Terrell Owens was also inducted into this year's Hall of Fame, but declined to attend the ceremony, choosing instead to speak at his alma mater earlier that day. In a speech, Terrell said he made the decision not because he had previously been rejected by voters, but because of what he called a flawed voting process. In response to Terrell's failure to attend, it is being reported that the Hall of Fame may soon require that all candidates must commit to showing up at the induction ceremony before the selection committee makes their final choices. Other 2018 Hall of Famers include linebacker Brian Urlacher, longtime general manager Bobby Bethard, and Green Bay Packers legend Jerry Kramer, who just ended a 45-year-long wait to enter into the Hall of Fame. Worth the wait, I'm sure. And that's all from me. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Gwen. I'm going to have to watch some of those Ray Lewis clips on YouTube later on. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now in studio by VOA intern Prince Nesta, who has news on the Community Shield game in England and some background on just who scored the goals on Saturday night at the Real Madrid versus Juventus game just outside of Washington, D.C. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Sergio Aguero scored twice as Manchester City eased to a 2-0 victory over Chelsea in the Community Shield. The Argentine international looked sharp as he slotted home his first goal and his 200th for the club in the 13th minute. Aguero, who was also named man of the match, scored his second immediately after the break when he latched onto Bernardo Silva's pass and beat Willy Caballero with another precise slow finish. Chelsea were outclassed in nearly every department by the Premier League champions, despite the absence of star players like Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, and Raheem Sterling. This is the first time the Premier League champions have won the Community Shield since Manchester United beat Wigan 2-0 in 2013.
Prince, how important is the Community Shield for how it sets up the next part of the year in the Premier League?
It's always the Community Shield is always a contest between the champions of the Premier League season and the holders of the FA Cup, and it's mostly played at the Wembley Stadium. And most importantly, the game always serves as a curtain raiser for the Premier League season, which kicks off this weekend, and I'm so excited about it. Chelsea's going to actually face Huddersfield, while Manchester City will be playing against Arsenal, among other fixtures.
So, Prince, I was on Saturday night at the big Real Madrid versus Juventus exhibition.
Wow.
Nearby here in Maryland, just about 20 miles away from the Voice of America studios. Now, everybody was disappointed there was no Cristiano Ronaldo and some of the other big stars, but there were two goals by Marco Asensio, who was assisted by Vinicius Jr., the young Brazilian player. Any thoughts on those two guys and whether we'll see them contributing to Real Madrid this year now that Cristiano is playing for Juventus?
Yeah, Marco Asensio is actually a fantastic and brilliant attacking midfielder and winger. And seems as though Real Madrid are not actually missing Cristiano Ronaldo since they managed to pull that victory quite easily. And Marco Asensio is a fast and dodgy player, blessed with amazing skills, individual brilliance, and goal-scoring composure. And he's also experience. I mean, he's won like two Champions League with Real Madrid, and he didn't come as a surprise to me, actually, when he scored the two goals.
How about the young Brazilian? Are we going to see him playing in Madrid this year?
Amazing player. He actually celebrated his 18th birthday, and of course, he has skillful dribbling abilities and also one of a kind. But I would actually ask, you know, think of him to go out for on loan, because it will be important for him, because in Real Madrid, he might not get the chance.
We'll keep track of his progress, Prince. And that wraps up the August 6th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger, and thanks to engineer John Dryden. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross and a delegation from the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa announced over $1 billion in private sector deals during their recent mission to four sub-Saharan African nations. The Advisory Council members expect to quickly conclude more than $2 billion in additional deals in the coming days. The four-nation visit, which included stops in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, concluded in Ghana, where Secretary Ross signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the Minister of Finance to deepen the commercial partnership between the two nations. On previous stops, Undersecretary of Commerce Gilbert Kaplan signed a cooperative agreement with the Ethiopian and Kenyan governments. In Ghana, Secretary Ross led the U.S. delegation in meetings with President Nana Akufo-Addo, Vice President Mamoudou Bawumia, Minister of Trade Alan Karamatin, Minister of Energy Boaki Agyarko, and Minister of Finance Ken Ofori-Atta. Undersecretary Kaplan led the delegation in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, meeting with heads of state and senior government officials, including Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, President Alassane Ouattara, and Prime Minister Amadou Gon Coulibaly of Cote d'Ivoire, and Ethiopian Minister of Finance Abraham Tekesti. The delegation also met with business leaders and U.S. companies already doing business in those markets. The delegation also met with officials at the African Development Bank to better understand how and where the bank is providing financing throughout the continent. This financing is a key tool for U.S. companies as they seek procurement contracts. Cooperation agreements signed during the trip with Ethiopia, Kenya, and Ghana identify priority projects in key sectors to help achieve long-term growth and development. The cooperation agreements also establish a forum for the governments to address and resolve business climate challenges that limit participation by U.S. companies seeking to invest or do business in the three countries. The United States is making real progress in Africa, and we remain a strong, long-term, and stable partner in the continent's economic development, said Secretary Ross. We are finding solutions to transition aid-based economies to trade-based economies by creating new pathways for mutually beneficial long-term partnerships.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lina Armoudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will discuss menopause, a time in women that often indicates the end of fertility. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Jean-Pierre Bemba, the former Democratic Republic of Congo vice president, is planning to run for president in the December election. Bemba's ICC war crimes conviction was recently overturned on appeal. Politics in the DRC on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.